Welcome to My HR Podcast. Let's talk about the legal side of HR. Here's your host, Kevin Mosier, presented by Thompson Co. and My HR Genius.
Hi, this is Kevin Mosier, attorney at Thompson Co. Cousins & Irons. I'm an MSBA Certified Labor and Employment Specialist. Today we have for our podcast Greg DeCooster from NPF Benefits. And we're going to be talking about the Medicare annual election period and probably some other stuff around that. Greg, you've been a guest on the My HR Genius podcast series before. Thank you for coming back. How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you doing, Kevin?
Good, good. So for those people who missed out, and I would definitely encourage everybody to go back and listen to the first time Greg was on the podcast series, I believe in July of this year. I would definitely encourage everybody to go and listen to that. Greg, why don't you tell us about you and tell us about NPF Benefits and, you know, what your area of expertise and specialty is.
Sure. Thank you, Kevin. Again, I'd like to thank Kevin for this opportunity to come back on his show. Kevin, you're arguably the best labor attorney that I've ever met and a good friend of mine. So as a short plug for Kevin, if you got questions, concerns, the guy is a straight shooter. Give him a call. I like him a lot. He'll give you great advice. And so that's why I continue to be friends with Kevin and try to work with him on the insurance aspects for companies and individuals. Well, my name is Greg DeCooster. I'm born and raised here in Roseville, Minnesota. I started financial planning realm back in 2008 and quickly learned the healthcare business through a 35-plus year veteran who taught me group medical plans and Medicare and individual insurance for companies and Medicare beneficiaries and individuals. Since then, I've gone on my own to start my own agency, and we work in the Twin Cities, and we were in about four or five other states, but we mainly focus on group benefits and Medicare. And so I've been in this business for about 13 years, give or take, and I absolutely love it. I enjoy it. I would say, for our listeners, I consider myself a true consultant in the Medicare realm. There's three types of people that can offer Medicare and the insurance business as a whole. Commodity type sale, where you buy the cheapest product, cheapest insurance because it's the best because it's cheap. Well, cheap ain't good and good ain't cheap. So my goal is to understand, what are you trying to accomplish with your medical insurance? What type of issues you're concerned with? Anything from chronic conditions to travel to premium tolerance to medications, so that we can marry you to the right insurance company. And then you got the second person in this business that's the hobbyist, that financial advisor or that property casualty agent that can offer you insurance because they have a relationship with you. Their main goal is to do financial planning or property casualty. They have one or two agreements. They have a good relationship with you, so you work with them. Where I would take myself in that expert consultant type role, where I have, eight or nine different agreements with different insurance companies, so that I can listen to the goals of your company or your employee Medicare needs and offer them a solution that makes sense for them versus a one-fits-all box type solution, right? And so I work really hard to understand the different plans. I go to multiple meetings and presentations. I even listen to Medicare podcasts as I drive, to try to truly understand this business so I can be that expert for your employees.
That's great. So you know, and then we'll get into the guts of this and what we need to know going into this new benefit season where employers are trying to figure out benefit packages going into 2022. But so if I understand it, you partner with HR professionals and business owners to help offer solutions to their Medicare-eligible employees once they hit the age of 65?
Correct.
Yeah.
I do.
Well, let's talk about how you do that. So we've got the annual election period coming up. You know, I am not a benefits expert like you are, and a lot of people listening on the call here, you know, I'm an HR specialist, but I don't do as much in the way of benefits. So explain to me, like, okay, what is the annual election period? What do we need to know about it? You know, it's coming up here. We're at the end of September, and I know it's coming up soon.
The annual election period happens each year. It's October 15th through December 7th with a January 1st effective date. This is a time period that someone who is on Medicare can review their Medicare plans and see, does it still fit what they need to get from it. Networks change, right? So a clinic or hospital or provider that's in network today may not be in network next year. They also medications change. It's called a formulary list. It's what is the insurance company willing to offer to your employees that are on Medicare. Now, all insurance companies are required to offer at least one prescription med coverage for the different diseases out there. But branded drugs move to generic drugs. And so does your employee still have the right medication access that they need? And so this is a time period to look at that. Going out of state, some of your employees might, what's called snowbirding. I know it's a very technical term, but it's a term where does your employee flock south for the winter for a month or longer at a time? And not all Medicare plans offer the same type of coverage throughout the country. And so as your employee ages and may want to take some time off and work remote now, especially with a lot of companies offering that remote work, does it really matter if they're sitting at their home here in St. Paul, Minneapolis, or can they be down in Tampa Bay, Florida, or, you know, Atlanta, Georgia, sitting on their deck working? Well, does their coverage give them access to a local doctor? And not all Medicare plans offer the same type of travel benefit that your employee might need now since their situation's changed. And so this annual election period is a time period where with a Medicare Advantage plan or a prescription drug plan, no matter how great or not so great their health is, they can change. There's no medical underwriting. They just simply have to do a new application to change for January 1st. And I'm not saying they have to change, but, you know, every policy does change a tad bit. And so it's a good time to review it and just know then for the next year, am I set up in the right plan? Generally speaking, when someone's enrolled into a Medicare Advantage, Medigap plan, or prescription drug plan, they generally have it for the year. They, during the time periods of outside of the annual election period, they can switch if they have a special enrollment period. They lose their job or they lose their employer coverage. They move. All Medicare plans are based on the county you reside in. So most of the plans you're going to have to switch if you move. If you get institutionalized, you go to the nursing home. That allows you to change during the year. But outside of one of those life-changing events, you have the plan you have, and so you just can't switch when you want to. And so this is the time to do it. And if you miss this time, or at least don't take a second to review it, it could mean that you can't see your doctor next year, and so it's a good time to review it and just make sure it's the right plan for you.
What are the types of plans that are, like, what's typically offered in a Medicare Advantage plan? Or maybe it's a Medicare Advantage with prescription drugs.
Yeah, so generally people have, I'd say, three different options to them. The first option is a Medigap plan. The second option is a Medicare Advantage plan. And then a third option is some sort of employer or union retirees plan. And so I always encourage folks that talk to me, is like, well, go back to your employer, see if they have some sort of retirees plan that might be a better fit for you. And some employees don't even realize their company offers it. If you're an HR director on this call and you'd like to review a retirees plan, generally speaking, we can get one involved with your company at no contribution to you. It doesn't cost the employer anything to do a group Medicare retirees plan. The benefit to it is typically I can get you a stronger drug plan option in that retirees plan. Not to get into the weeds with it, but a better coverage. It allows you to kind of avoid what's called the donut hole. And so that's an option for some of the employers to offer, and it's a nice benefit for your employees as another option for Medicare. That being said, a Medigap plan typically are a little bit higher premiums, but depending on what Medigap plan one chooses, you can see very little, if any, bills. Can never promise anyone that you're not going to see a bill with a Medigap plan, but they do cover medical expenses very, very well. And then you pair that with a drug plan, a separate drug plan. My staff and I can analyze the different meds that one is on and help make suggestions on what the best Part D plan to pick. And then a Medicare Advantage plan is a little bit different. You bundle your medical and your prescription drug plan to a single plan. So you have one card, one insurance company, one premium you pay versus a Medicare Medigap plan. You have two separate policies, two separate premiums. And so they both are very, very good. It just depends on what is your employee looking for and what premium tolerance do they have and what helps them make them sleep better at night, you know, knowing that you're paying a little bit more and you're not necessarily worrying about bills if you have to go to the hospital, or you know that you're paying a reasonable premium. Yeah, you'll get some bills some invoices as you go to the hospital or clinic, but they're very, very well controlled. And so those are generally the two options most people have. And obviously the third one is a retirees plan that some companies or unions offer.
Right. Okay. So I'm an HR, manager at a company with less than 20 employees. I've got 15 employees, and I know that one of my employees just turned 65.
Yep.
And I'm listening to this podcast, and I'm thinking like, oh my gosh, do I have to do this? What should I be thinking? What are the types of things that you offer that this small business person or, HR person, a smaller business should know about with their 65-year-old employee?
Well, the first thing they should know is my name and number and email address to call me and say, hey, I have this employee that needs some help.
I should have asked you that. I'll certainly put that in the information on the podcast. If you want to give that out, that'd be great, but I'll definitely put it in the podcast info as well.
Oh, I know. I just figured it was a really easy plug for me. But with that being said, yes, you have some fun with this, right? Well, the first thing is that that's a very good question, Kevin, and that's probably arguably the number one question I get from people that say, hey, my financial advisor, my friend Kevin told me to give you a call. Do I have to sign up for Medicare? My best friend's sister, brother told me that if I don't, I'm going to get penalized. Well, the answer is it maybe. And the reason why it's maybe is that there's two questions you have to find out if you have to sign up for Medicare at 65. The first question is, is my employer have more or less than 20 employees? If you have 20 or more employees in your company, then technically you could defer Part B. There is a premium to Part B, and it's based on your income of 2 years ago, and there's a chart that I walk people through so they can see what their Part B premium would be. And if you're over 20 employees, you can defer Part B. If you're under 20 employees, so 19 or fewer employees, then I would highly recommend your employee enroll into Medicare. When you're under 20 employees, Medicare, Parts A and B, is considered primary. And they can still use the group plan, if they like, to supplement what Parts A and B doesn't cover. And there's a lot of stuff that Parts A and B doesn't cover. The main thing is that there's no out-of-pocket cap, like your group employer medical insurance covers gives you, $3,000, $2,500, or $12,000 family out-of-pocket cap. Once you hit that magic number, then the insurance company takes over the risk for the remainder of the year. In Parts A and B, there is no out-of-pocket cap, and so that you could still use your group plan to cover that. If you're over 20 employees, then your group plan is considered primary, and you could defer Part B. Now, the next question you have to answer yourself is my group plan considered credible coverage for Medicare Part D prescription drug coverage? It's an actuarial value. The really only way you're going to know if it is or not is if you call the insurance company on the number on the back of your medical card and simply ask them, I'm aging into Medicare. Is this insurance coverage considered credible coverage for Part D? Does it pay equal or better than what a standalone drug plan Greg can get me, get my employee? You can certainly call your broker. If you want, you can call me and I can do a conference call with you with your insurance company to find this out. But it's crucially important because if your group plan is not considered credible coverage, then your employee, whether it's a small group or under 20 employees or 20 employees or more large group, your employee will start to accrue penalties. And then the penalty on a Part D premium never goes away. The Part D penalty is a 1% based off the national average, and that accrues 1% per month until they enroll into a credible coverage Part D. Just don't assume your coverage is considered credible. Call your current broker, call your insurance company, and find that out, because the federal government will apply these penalties, and the penalties never go away, and they're not going to use the excuse, well, I didn't know. Well, you should add some questions, otherwise you will be subject to these penalties. So those are the two questions you need to find out. Am I over or under 20 employees, and is my current group medical coverage offered through my employer considered credible for Part D prescription drug coverage? Does that make sense?
It does. And so if I'm an HR person and I'm trying to figure this out, Is this the sort of thing where I could partner with you, where you would come in and do like presentations or talk to the employees to see if you could help them out? Is that something you offer as far as an informational?
Yep, I do that now. I do, this past weekend, I had an educational presentation. Three ladies showed up, and one of the gals, super confused what she needed to do. She works for a very large employer here in the Twin Cities. If I were to name the company, everyone on this podcast has heard of this company. And she was telling me after we were done, she was like, Greg, thank you so much for this presentation. I know what I need to do. You filled in the gaps of what the questions I had, and it made sense to me, and I wrote down exactly what I need to do. And because she works for a very large, we're probably talking nationally, they have 20,000, 25,000 employees nationally, so that's a very large company. And she's going to defer her Medicare until she wants to retire later next year in 2022. And she made the comment to me, she's like, you know, there's about 20 employees here at my company that I can name to you right now that is super confused. They're aging into Medicare here in the next year, and they don't know what to do. And so I offered to her that I'd be willing to come into the company over lunch hour and provide them with this educational presentation. Now, the educational presentation is not a sales presentation, so I'm not there to sell anything. In fact, how the presentation set up is that I have to talk in general terms, general premiums, general plan options. I talk about the enrollment periods. I talk about where you have to go to sign up for Medicare. I show someone how they can look up what their Part B premium might be. And so we give an overview without talking about anything specific. And people tend to like it a lot because I'm not selling anything. It's not cheesy. It's good, solid information for your employees to make decisions on their Medicare and what they exactly need to do. Does that make sense, Kevin?
It does. Yeah. And then we talked about this on the last podcast too, that you'd just be a really good resource for employees, but also just for companies to tap into to help their employees out as they're, you know, becoming Medicare eligible. And I think there's a real benefit for the companies as well, because first of all, you're helping the employees, and that's good. We, you know, for the most part, like to help employees out. Not always, you know, big caveat on that, of course. But then also,
right.
I'm kind of joking. But then also, right, Kevin's sarcasm. But
yes,
then also,
I mean,
there could be a benefit, right? Because if you're a smaller employer, you might be able to encourage the employee to go on to Medicare, right, so that they're off your group plan.
So when you're under 20 employees, 19 or under, you technically can tell your employee that, you know, first of all, they need to go on Medicare if you're under 20. Parts A and B.
Yeah, they have to.
The million-dollar question is, should they stay on our group company benefits? And actually, that changed this last year, where you could tell your staff, like, hey, since you're on Medicare, we need you to go on Medicare. Now, if you're over 20 employees, you can't technically suggest or offer them to go on to Medicare because you're over 20 employees and your group plan is considered primary. You have to allow them to be on it. You can't suggest them to come off. But, you know, you can do presentations, invite the company to all the staff to my Medicare presentation, and so that they can learn about Medicare. You never know. You might have a 22-year-old that might want to know more about Medicare because they know that his or her mom and dad are aging in and they want a contact for them. But more importantly, for those 65-year-olds to understand the process and how it works and how it might be a benefit to them. You know, some of these premiums are $600 to $1,200 a month for someone who's in there that's 63, 64, 65 years old. I have a client right now, she's 67, and the premium a month is just shy of $1,300 for her. And so if we can find a way with Medicare to be more cost effective and cover her just as well, if not better, on the group plan, you know, that could be a benefit to her or him moving forward. When it comes to the Medicare Advantage plans, there is no deductible. There's a max out of pocket. And so when you start looking at these premiums for a Medicare Advantage plan, they're very reasonable in premiums, and they move right to a copay or coinsurance. So your deductible is something that happens within the doctor's appointment. So you pay a copay, let's say of either zero copay dollars, you can go talk to your doctor for free essentially, or be $10, $20. If your doctor has you do, consider that a consulting fee. You're buying 15, 20 minutes of your doctor's time. But then if your doctor has you do a lab work or an MRI, in a traditional medical plan, you typically have to pay a deductible. These deductibles are anywhere, you know, from $1,000, $1,500 to $7,000 deductibles. Well, in a Medicare Advantage plan, you don't have that. You have a max out of pocket. Most 95%, I'd say, of people on a Medicare Advantage plan will never hit that max out of pocket. They typically run between $2,700 to $6,700 out of pocket max, but most of them never hit that because they're controlled by these copays and coinsurance. Medicare Medigap plans, you'll pay a little bit higher premium, north of $200, but south of $300. And by and large, depending on what Medicare Medigap plan you go on, there's a particular one I'm thinking of here in Minnesota, that by and large, you probably won't see a bill. Now, I can never promise anyone they won't see a bill, and I'm not saying no one will see a bill, but they pay very, very well. Well, let's compare that price, that premium, to your company's premium and your company's benefits, and it may make more sense for them to go on Medicare. And then you, as the HR professional, can leave the decision up to them. But at least they're having both sides of the coin. Company plan, this is my premium, this is what I got to contribute to that, this is what my out-of-pocket liability is. If I go on Medicare, Medigap, or Medicare Advantage plan, what does that premium look like? What are my liabilities on that? And it could be more beneficial.
It's great. Well, Greg, I really, really appreciate your, I mean, really knowledgeable. I really appreciate you coming on the podcast and explaining this. It's just such a niche, specialized area that HR professionals and employees, you know, whether it's for themselves or parents, just everybody needs to understand this and understand that you're a great resource out there to help people and companies. Tell us now how people can get in contact with you over at MPF Benefits.
Well, and the one last thing I want to comment on is that my services
Sure.
are basically free. And so obviously I'm not doing this for free, but they are free. I get compensated through the insurance company. And so Centers for Medicare Services, CMS, regulates how I get paid and how much. So no, your employee will never write out a $500 check for my services. If they choose to work with me, and there's no obligation, they have to. But if they choose to work with me, they pay the whatever insurance company they enroll into pays me a commission for helping them. And they pay the same whether they call the insurance company directly or work with Greg, the broker consultant. It's the same premium. The benefit to me working with me is I don't have any alliance or obligation to work with one insurance company. I have, like I said, multiple agreements with multiple insurance companies to provide the best value, the best plan for someone's situation, that we can look at their network and make sure they can see their doctor. Probably the number one thing I've learned in this business in 13 years is doctors are extremely important to employees, and they want to see their doctor. They trust them, they know them, they like them. And so we can definitely do that, and they won't see a bill from me. Or you, your company, I won't be sending a bill to your company. It's just a matter of working with your employees to understand their situation and then giving them good advice. With that being said, if you'd like to get in contact with me, you can certainly call my office at 651-371-6512. You can email me at greg@npf, Nancy Paul Frank Benefits, with an S at the end, so npfbenefits.com.
Greg, thanks so much for the explanation, and it's really a great resource that you offer people. And thank you again as well, Greg, for coming on the podcast the second time, and thank you to the listeners as well. For more information on the MyHR Genius Legal HR program, visit myhrgenius.co, or you are welcome to call me directly at 651-389-5000. For more HR tips and advice, subscribe to the My HR Genius podcast on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you again, Greg DeCooster at NPF Benefits, and I hope to talk to you all soon. Bye-bye.
For more information on Thompson Co. and the My HR Genius program, please visit myhrgenius.co.